Did you not miss her? Yeah, what I said, sir. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no. Yeah. Get your hands in the air, sir. Woo! Yeah. Then you will get no hurt, mister. No. I said, yeah.
I said, yeah.
In connection with your host, Pastor Cameron, coming to you live from the foot of the Bullet Mountain in a little district called Turtle Pond. He's in the parish of Clarendon. And we still say, Eternal Father, bless our land. Guard us with thy mighty hand. Keep us free from evil powers. Your light you count us ours. So lead us, great defender. Grant you wisdom from above. Justice will be ours forever. Jamaica, land we love. Truly we give Almighty God praise for another day in this troublesome time. Jamaica has now 125 cases of reported coronavirus. Last week, Wednesday, we were at 63. And yesterday and today, we had it 40. Plus one parish, the entire parish of St. Catherine is under total lockdown. I mean, nobody moved. What a time. People were seen scampering, leaving, trying to leave Portmore last night. And they're headed to other parts of Jamaica to to get away from this 1 week of lockdown. No ending in sight. But we glad to know that my help cometh from the Lord, which maketh heaven and earth.
To receive this power from God.
In a world where the count now stands at 2 million. Over 2 million cases worldwide reported for coronavirus. 127,000 people, 594 have died from this virus. 491,824 has recovered. And it is still counting, no end in sight. Where most of the world leaders are just focusing on their economy. They are more concerned about their economy than concerned about people's lives. What a time. Seems like men's lives are not valued anymore. You see over in China where China is blaming the black people for this virus and they are throwing them out in droves. We have seen the clipping. That's how the Chinese are treating the black race in China. They have been thrown out of their homes. And lots of black people are now on the street. Because Chinese all of a sudden don't want them there. And everywhere we go, we see the blacks being constantly rejected. The same thing has been happening in America. They are now saying that more blacks are dying from this coronavirus in America. I've gotten the report from England where a black man was thrown in a coronavirus ward. And our people have been abused all day long. We are confident in the victory of good over evil. It must come to pass. The great Martin Luther, when he marched on Washington, he said, "We shall overcome. We serve the conquering lion of the tribe of Judah. I will break every chain and give us the victory again and again." We also noticed that the count in Africa is very low. Like Ghana stands at 636 with 8 deaths. Nigeria stands at 373 with 11 deaths. None of these African countries, their count is very low. But this morning, United States stands at 614,426 cases with 26,064 deaths. What a time. But in spite of the troubles, we are rolling on. Because we serve the King of Glory. This is the Current and Connection. The host, Pastor Cameron, and my guest, Bishop Dr. Delroy Cameron, is right there. Good evening, sir. How are you doing?
Good evening, my brother. I am doing very well. Thank you. How are you doing?
Man, we tell the Jamaica has just suddenly jumped because, you see, you need people who understand this thing. This thing now, it is what is known as the community spread phase. And this is where it gets terrible. So in Jamaica last night, at one center, they call in the BPO, this is where lots of people work for some overseas companies. It is a foreign exchange earner for the government. So they work for companies from the United States. And yesterday they found 20, and today it's another 20. So our figure now is presently at 125.
Wow, there's a surge, I think.
Let me give you the figure. We started Sunday at 69. So Sunday we were at 69, and then we went to Tuesday. We went to 73. And by Wednesday, we're up to 100, we are now up to 125. And the entire community of Portmore, and you know what Portmore is like. It's a dormitory community. It's one of the biggest community you have in Jamaica. And it is under a matter of fact, not just Portmore alone, the entire St. Catherine. When you see the long lines of people, because they can only go out 2 days to get food, when you see the long lines that are there at the supermarket, and I know Portmore, those places, after a time, the lady was saying today on the news that she came to the supermarket at 8:30, and she stood in the line for nearly an hour and a half. It was like 10:30 before she went she could get from 8:30 at the door to 10:30 in the supermarket. And by the time she get in there, only 2 bread was left on the shelf.
Wow.
So it's not going to be an easy road to lock down St. Catherine for this week. It's not going to be easy. Last night at the toll road in Portmore, they sent me a clip where a man on the top of his car was his bed, his mattress, and the bed, but I mean, he's moving everything out of Portmore.
My goodness. I'm sorry to hear that, but this weekend, I think the surge pretty much all over, even in Canada, they said it went up 90%. So there are more businesses now that are closing their door as a result of what's going on. And I can't even imagine how many people are affected, even in Jamaica right now. So it has to be taken seriously. That's important, that this disease, whatever virus, it's not taking out prisoners. It's wiping out wherever it goes. So I thought about a sports quote that says the best defense is a good offense. And I would urge and encourage people to listen to what the news or the government is saying. Stay home as much as you can. If you don't have to go out, just don't. Because, and if you do, then make sure if you have to wear a mask or a bandana and carry your sanitizer, and when you get back home, also wash your hands, and they say get rid of your clothes and that stuff. But I spend a lot of time now inside, and it's an opportunity for many people to kind of reset their own priorities. You know, it's not a bad thing to stay home and rethink what you might have to. Because when this is over, one thing I have said a number of times, when this is over, the new normal is going to be very different. So folks may be anxious to go back to how things were before. Right now they're saying, this is in Canada, it's going to take at least 12 to 18 months before some or all the restrictions are going to be lifted, because they're not going to take away or remove certain restrictions until a vaccine is identified and proven, and they said that could take easily up to 18 months to 2 years. So trying to get back to what life was before, boy, I don't necessarily think it's going to happen anytime soon. And so one of the best thing to do right now is really kind of find ways to be positive, read what's helpful, watch the things on the TV that's going to help you to grow, because at the end of this, I don't believe life is going to be what we knew it as before. It is going to be different. And the mind has to start to be, to reprogram itself even now as to what it's going to look like when this is over. Because government, they're not going to just open up everything just like that. Look at the fight Trump is having in the States. And, you know, he wants to see the economy turn around, because the truth is, I think, as it affects all of the economy, you're going to, I think one of the key players who's watching economy crumble, obviously, is we can't leave China out of it at all. But it's going to be different. That's my argument. It's going to be different. And so, brother, your show also, I will encourage you to keep doing it. You're doing a good job. And connect with people as you're doing. Reach them by social media and other way that you're doing. Because like I said, there's no telling what the new normal is going to be. So every opportunity you have now, as God is preparing you and you seek Him, be ready for what's going to change for good when this is over. Be ready. Because God is preparing some people right now as we speak for the next new normal. And that's my heart, to seek Him as much as I can to find out. I'm already reprogramming in my spirit how different I intend to do church when this is over. Because I think even that has to change. So it's a good time to be at home and allow the Lord to reveal Himself to you and your listeners. And, you know, just being religious is not going to cut it anymore. You mentioned something that I wasn't paying a lot of attention to, but the fact that even this pandemic now starts, some who are, I think, responsible for it, starting to shift their focus to make it a racial issue that is at the root of this, and I find that appalling, you know. But who knows how what race have to do with this. And so far with the church, it's on lockdown, so there's not a volume on that yet, but I think that's going to change. That has to change.
Yeah, because even in New York, they are saying that the blacks and the Hispanic communities, they make up most of New York population, and this is that's the type of people that are dying, especially in New York. So right, sure, it's like, you know, you can't dismiss. You know, as they say, you know, you can't dismiss the race card. It is really up front. It is really up front because in the New York society, it seems like the blacks are the one that has the less health care. They are the one that's
because
the poorer race. So now that this thing is up, it is showing up the blacks because they are the one who gets sick. They are the one who have to probably try to reach out to hospital and stuff like that.
And there are many that don't have the proper health care, like you rightly said. And they won't show up at the hospital if they can't afford to pay, let's say, for testing or anything like that. And it's the numbers are correct. Like, you know, they said that I think most states you could average out at 15 to maybe 20% are made up with black, but yet the death ratio or those affected is way, some of them way over 50%, you know.
Right.
And you rightly said, that is showing up. And another thing that's not being said much, because I have to deal with that. Pardon me, I'm sorry about that. I didn't hear your last comment. I think I cut in maybe at the wrong time.
It is only happening in New York alone. The same news is coming out of Chicago. More blacks are dying.
Yeah. Most of the states that are predominantly, that have the larger number of blacks, they are affected, of course, and we understand why. But the point I was going to make is that I found out also that mental health, I mean, I have to deal with it firsthand, to be honest, with within my own family. But over there also, that's a big part of the problem where it's not addressed. And there are many that has to deal with it, especially now, and have absolutely no help, no way of doing it. Of getting the help. So, man, it seems as if we're behind the eight ball again where that is concerned. But who knows, the blacks are still praying, people. We're still fighters. We're not going to quit. I still believe that God will come through again. And it's probably a significant role that the church will have to play also in supporting the community.
Because what I understand, what I learned from the politics in the USA was that, you know, President Obama has set up a group of people to deal with pandemics. But when this president came on board, he just dismantled it. He thought it was totally unnecessary, a waste of time. And even go back to Obamacare. You know, his job was just, the new president here, his job was just bent on just getting rid of it. As a matter of fact, you know, to be really honest, most of Obama's initiative, President Trump, you know, he just went and dismantled them like they were the worst thing that ever happened to Americans. And you know, if it's sow to the wind again, we reap the whirlwind, and that's what is happening in America.
Yeah.
Somebody those things.
He never. I think where leadership is concerned, he has failed in many, many ways. But you know, he's in the office. He's a president, obviously, and he makes decision how he sees fit. But a lot of it, obviously, is really how it please. Those who supported him and those who are supporting him. So many are left out. I mean, now he's in the decision he made to withdraw funding from the WHO has become a big, big issue. And folks sometimes overlook some of these things, but you have to pay attention, you know, because the U.S. was a key player in, for example, supporting the WHO. President Trump decided that he's going to pull funding, forget about it, he's not going to support it anymore. You know what's going to happen? You watch what's going to happen. If where the U.S. fail, just about in any part of the world, whether it's the economy or politics, or whatever, you're going to see either China step up or Russia stepping up. And there's going to be backlash, of course, because they usually have big influence. You know, they're big time players in these organizations. And I said something last time we were on the show that he's truly like a white nationalist, an American white nationalist. And so if it doesn't benefit them, he'll pull anything because he's really dealing with the U.S. But But these are this is an international community where, you know, the bigger players, they have to be involved in these decision making. So I don't think it was a wise decision for him to just back out of, you know, said he's going to stop supporting the WHO. And going back to like what you said with Obama, a lot of that stuff that he politicized, I mean, they're not even politicized. I think some of them are just personal vendettas that he had against the former president. So, you know, he tried to stop or just pretty much wipe out most of what that former president has initiated. And that's a personal thing, I believe. You know, he's president and obviously,
we grew up in the country and we always hear this saying that they say, you know, you can't chop off your nose just to spite your face. And that's what President Trump is doing. Because these policies are necessary, even now, if he had kept the Obamacare, a lot of, and people need to understand this, that it would be so affordable. And what is affecting America now? Because from President Clinton come way up, they always been struggling with a proper health care for Americans. So the Obamacare was the best thing, but because now he's in position and as of his vendetta with Obama and stuff like that. But it doesn't stop there. It involves the black people as well. We can't leave ourselves out. So
well,
right.
And that point is a solid point, because especially if it was going to benefit the black, you know, of course they will work most of them as hard as they can for the bill not to pass or in any way to kind of veto it or eliminate it, because it was going to benefit minority groups. And when that's going to happen, the rich, the white folks, no, it's a no-no for them. It's a no-no for them. But no, I think something that Martin Luther said, I can't quote them exactly, but something to the fact that where justice is concerned, if it's not for everybody, it's like it affects the whole community or the whole world. And that's what's happening. The injustice and the pressure that they impose on the black race, no matter which way you slice it, eventually it's going to affect the global community. I mean, right now when you look in the U.S., it's happening big time. A lot of frontline workers are blacks. A lot of them that are doing, you know, average job, I think the majority are blacks. So it affects the entire world, and I don't. It's just a wicked. I guess some of the conspiracy story or theory that blacks have anything to do with like this virus is just crazy. You know, it's just plain ridiculous. I mean, it's almost like saying the same thing where drugs are concerned and a lot of other things that we don't have the resources to fund. And yet, the cause of it, they would try to blame the blacks. No, that's just wrong. That's just wrong. But how is it going down there? Like I heard it last night. There was one or two parish, like St. Catherine and somewhere else, that was on the total lockdown.
Yes. Well. St. Catherine is locked down totally from this morning, 5 a.m. Part of Clarendon, a place named Conpeace, it is still under quarantine. Well, and Bull Bay, the out that end just came out of 2 weeks quarantine. So people are assuming that, you know, they're going to move to a next parish because what happened in St. Moore is that the BPO, the center is at Portmore, but a lot of the people who came, who work at that center, who are now infected with this virus, they are not actually from Portmore.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Listen to the radio today, and they are saying that one person was found all the way in St. Thomas, running away from Portmore because the epicenter for that thing now is at a BPO in Portmore, and they went back there today and they found another 20, and the thing is that they said that place have about 800 staff, so everybody has not been tested yet. Matter of fact, only 300 and something has been tested. And they gone 40 out of it already.
But there's a little, somebody should take responsibility for that, because if that many people work in one place, and, you know, I guess all countries are pretty much practicing social distancing, you know what I mean, wouldn't they at least have imposed some kind of precaution or take some kind of precautionary measure to avoid in that kind of environment, that kind of closeness, or everybody has to...
Last night in his press conference, the prime minister said that charges was going to be laid on them, but that would be a little too late because, you know, the horse already gone through the gate, you know, because from what I understand, that place been, they knew from Good Friday, but it was last night now that they realized that you know, it's really getting out of hand. They knew from Good Friday because the workers were complaining. But I heard that this particular place, you know, I think it just choose not to play by the rules.
Well, I mean, they should hold people accountable for that, because if you start, you know, the social distancing and you've got 800 people working together, and I don't know how big the place is and how far they have to be from, you're gonna start spreading this virus in a crazy way. They should, from the day one, and that's one of the problems that's happening in the U.S. as well, you know, because they knew about this from the time it started affecting the Chinese.
China.
And right, and in Wuhan, they knew about it. They knew about it in January. They knew about it. So I think the first case I heard actually that they discovered in New York City was in February, somewhere in mid-February, and they didn't even start any kind of lockdown until mid-March. You know, so if you're gonna wait that long, you're looking for trouble. You're really looking for trouble. It's just, you know, I don't know. It comes down to money a lot of time when folks don't want to implement the necessary precaution or measures that they're supposed to take. And you see the result, that it's not worth it, you know, because you're talking about people's life, you're talking about people's health. It's not worth it. It's not worth it at all. Yeah.
We must take a break, Dr. Cameron. We must take a break. This is the Clarendon Connection. And this is Pastor Cameron, and my guest is Dr. Cameron, all the way in Canada. We're going to be taking a break. We're going to take it a break, and we're going to be coming right back with the Clarendon Connection as we continue to discuss this pandemic in our world today. Take it away.
My God is real. Faithful, and he's ever sure, my God.
That song, our God is ever faithful. He's real. He is the King of glory. He's the divine protector, and we give him all praise and honor and glory. And the record says, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angel prostrate fall, bring forth the royal diadem, and we crown him Lord of all. Truly, he's a good God, and we continue to give him praise and honor and glory. We depend upon him. Isn't that so, Dr. Cameron?
Oh, definitely, definitely. You know, I was thinking about a scripture that's often quoted by Christians from 2 Chronicles 7, and I think most time we like to quote just verse 14, but 13 is such an important verse because he said, if I shut up heaven and there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence or epidemic among my people, if my people which are called by my name, this is the one people love to quote without adding 13, but 13 is very significant. If God sends it, if he permits it, if it happened, there's a way, there's a solution. He said, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And I was saying to my wife this morning that this land, and I'm speaking globally, needs healing, needs restoration. I have never thought more seriously before about the scriptural meaning for Sabbath more than now. And I think it's a time we're going through where I believe God will purge this land, he will heal this land, and he'll cleanse it. This is why I continue to say, after this is over, I trust and pray that we don't go back to business as usual. It has to be a divine message for soul searching and for seeking God, and just to use the time to reset and to prioritize. Some folks think it's a good time maybe to be off work, whether you're paid or not. I think it's more than that. I honestly think it's a lot more than that. It's not an opportunity to be away from church and do nothing. I truly believe that God is allowing this to get our attention. And if we look at what he said in the word, we will find the answer. He said, if I send epidemic, or they call it pandemic, because this is global, among my people, I think it's time to seek God more than ever, seek the mind of God more than ever, seek the heart of God more than ever. It is that time of our life. And it's, you know, it's fair to say we need to do so because our life depends on it. The life of the next generation depends on it. So, although the church in many ways been ignored, I think God has the solution for the pandemic God has a solution for this coronavirus. He has to be front and center for life again. This is important. If you think about, maybe not in Jamaica, but here, most Christians will spend more time at work than time with God. And sometimes they'll say, well, because the bills have to be paid. It means that our priority is wrong. That's really what it means. If I got to spend more time at work than I need to spend with God, then my priorities are not in order. So I cannot wait. I shouldn't be waiting to do double shift and triple shift after this is over without having God in the center of the equation. Because think about it. God gives health. God gives us the ability. God provide everything for us. I could understand sometimes you have to put in extra work depending on what needs to be paid. But even then, if I have to work for, I remember I worked with a guy. It was and he was a Chinese, to Oriental. He worked 5 years, I remember, 7 days a week, 4 years, 7 days a week. And people used to think, really, this guy is so greedy. But at the end of 4 years, what the guy did, he paid off for his house completely, and then he started to work 5 hours a day, 5 days a week, and he get paid for 40 hours. Because although you work 5 hours, you still have to pay him 8 hours. Because he had a goal, he had an agenda. But if we really just mess up our life based on how we make decisions, and that's to work 7 days a week, you know, and no time for God, something is wrong with the order. Something is wrong with the sequence, because God is not priority in our life. And we allow the system or we allow work. So why am I saying that? I'm saying that because if there's a great time for believers to find their purpose, is now. Because I will share with you that a purpose is greater than job. Purpose is greater than the income. It was the CEO, I think I mentioned it before on one of your show, Amazon CEO, that says there's a difference between your, he said most people don't know the difference between your gift and your career or your calling. And so my encouragement to listeners is that, yes, work as much as you can. Just the same way. Now you have to be proactive where this disease is concerned. It's not that the disease respects anybody, and you can't really hack as if you're exempt towards it. But I think if we take the necessary precaution that we're supposed to, I honestly believe even if it catches you, your body's supposed to be able to resist it. That's my take on it. So, you know, I make sure I blend my garlic and lemon, ginger, and take my vitamin. And that note in being proactive, I know I'm saying quite a few different things. I want to just pass this up before I forget that. Men over 50, body doesn't produce testosterone as much anymore. So it's important that we supplement it with zinc. Zinc is good also because zinc is one of those vitamins that also resists the coronavirus. And the reason I think a lot of men are dying is because we lack that. And, you know, it's good to take vitamin C, vitamin D3. And I'm only saying that because you have to prepare yourself for what may come at you. So having said that, I'll go right back to the point I was trying to make, that staying home, staying shut in, is not so bad. It's not so bad. It's a good time to prioritize our life. Get it right. Get it in order. Think it through. Seek God. The Bible says seek him first, and then everything will line up according to God's plan. Because the Bible says it's vain to go to bed early or go to bed late, wake up early and still eat the bread of sorrows. So God wants us to have this life that he has blessed us with, this wonderful gift called life, to have it in its right order, in its right context. And I am encouraging your listeners and preachers and prayer warriors and just believers in a whole, use this opportunity to say, Lord, what will thou have me to do? Don't spend most of your time worrying about what the virus is doing, who's going to affect. No. Like I said, take the precautions, which is important. Use your sanitizer. Keep your social distance. Wash your hands regularly. You know, eat properly. Take your vitamin. You know, if you don't have your vitamin, then compensate with all those natural stuff. In fact, another point I'll tell you, I have a doctor from the time I came to Canada, 1985, and she had never given me a prescription for any kind of cold-like symptom. She just asked me, are you taking anything? I said, yeah, I mix up my lemon and honey and whatever. She said, just keep taking that. She never prescribed anything. And I'm telling you, from 1985. So, you know, we can take, many of us are used to taking our homemade remedy, and trust me, a lot of that stuff that our parents used to give us can resist this virus. So don't spend all your time. Spend the time now. Being at home, get serious with God. Get serious with God. It's very, very important. I was listening to a 25-year-old man. I don't know if I had sent you this testimony, but he was having, I don't think it was a coronavirus, but his temperature went up to like 100 and something, and he passed out. Well, his dad was taking him to the hospital, and he just, not just passed out, but the guy seemed to have died, went to heaven, and then he was sharing his testimony why it's important to just get serious with God. So my brother, I commend you as always. I think you're doing a wonderful job. And, you know, social media obviously will work in your favor. If you can't get to have a congregation, there are many that listen to your show and all of that, which is good. But just get the word out and get so people can understand that, one, take this virus very serious because it's deadly. But never be afraid of it. That's important. Never be afraid of it, because we were not given a spirit of fear. God has given us the spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. But use the time you have wisely to reset your life, reset family relationship, and prioritize, refocus your spiritual life, and make sure God comes first. God is center. And we're going to be all right. We will pull through this together. But that's just my word of encouragement.
I just want to share something from the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 6, and I just share two verses there, verse 33 and verse 34. It says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." So as you say, we need to get our priorities straight. I think, you know, men at this point are straying away from God. I heard it with New York governor. Cuomo was saying that the rate went down, and it's not no faith, and it's not no God, and I was so taken aback by his statement. You know, he want men to be praised when there's a little leverage up on the thing in that chaotic state in New York, and the governor said, It's not faith, and it's not God, and I said, my Lord, what is this?
Let me just butt in a little bit to say, why don't be surprised when a man wants to take credit and all of that, because when you rule out God, men, you become God, you know. That's pretty much what it is, small g. But and I shared this once or twice that I was listening to a, you know, every once in a while I watch a Steve Harvey Family Feud. And one day I was watching it, and there was a question on it, something to the effect of what type of man would a woman want to be, to marry with, and stay with the rest of their life or something like that. And obviously, you know, first answer the person says was a God-fearing man. And she get a zero for that, zero, which means that stuff is not on anybody's list or radar, depending on who obviously they did the statistic with. So going back to what's going on with this pandemic, the reason I said it's important that the church seek God, to know the mind of God, the heart of God, so, because this world has become so humanistic that there's very little in the mind of people where God is concerned. So we've been working around the clock, and you know, people building and investing and all kind of stuff, and that's good also. But even 7 days a week, the reason I mentioned that I have to go back and rethink the Sabbath is because the essence of the Sabbath is that there has to be a moment in life where we put everything aside, everything, mm-hmm. and then get with God so that our soul can be replenished, or spirit can be recharged. Hallelujah. And we can also be rested. That's why, because I said to folks, when God rested, it wasn't because God was tired. The essence of that, the man has to put aside. Oh, hallelujah. And I think this virus has forced us to put aside everything. Put aside. And you may want to go to work, you can't go. You may want to go to the field, you can't go, because you can't go to the market. You know, so people have to understand that we violated the word of God so much and has practiced abominable stuff and think that, you know, we can just use God when we feel or when we're in distress, we call him and he shows up. And you know what I'm saying? And that's nonsense. The Bible says the earth is the Lord, the world, and they that dwell therein. Everything belongs to God. This whole thing belongs to God. And people live their life as if God doesn't matter. I tell you something, man. God matters because he created this for his glory. And I think even in this pandemic, God is going to be glorified. I think after it's done, God is going to be glorified. Because God, man is not God. God is God. And he must prove, he's gonna show himself big and strong as God, even when this is over. And I'm getting ready, man.
We have to constantly depend upon him, because we have seen his power. We have seen his protection.
Amen. Amen.
I just, you know that my wife is on the front line, and I just got a text from her. She says, my swab came back negative.
Yes.
So a lot of
people,
you know, in our environment are getting, they're getting this virus. But by the grace of God, because we are in agreement, because the God who serves gives divine protection, we still believe in Psalm 91 that says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty.
Amen.
We still believe in Psalm 23 that said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear.
Hallelujah.
We still believe in Psalm 27, for the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? We still believe in Psalm 25, plead my cause, O Lord, against them that fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler.
Amen.
No weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. I will lift up my eyes upon 20 years from which my head. My head
Hallelujah.
Cometh from God. who mentioned him. He rejoined them negative because of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Of Nazareth.
Hallelujah.
Praise and honor.
Amen.
And glory. My brother,
amen.
I can rejoice in Jamaica tonight.
Amen.
Because God,
praise the Lord.
My
hallelujah.
Let me present helping trouble.
Yes.
We have to talk about him. We have to boast about him.
Yes,
we want to speak all over the world, but we serve a healing Jesus. He
hallelujah.
Never fails. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, because I hear one right to say that. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Lean on the everlasting.
Amen.
Continue to lean on him, my brother. Don't
yes,
give
sir.
Up. What
hallelujah.
On is a present hand.
Hallelujah.
In the tone
praise
of trouble.
God.
We have to praise him, my
hallelujah.
I have what to praise
amen.
Him for.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm glad you mentioned her and all the other frontline workers, because I spoke to her, I think it was last night as well, and she was telling me over 50% of her staff that work at her place were tested positive. And for God to have her going in to cover multiple shifts because they're understaffed now, it meant that she's more exposed than anybody else. And, you know, God allow her to double her hours and give her the strength and the support. And that's a lot to rejoice about. And that's a living testimony, in all honesty, that we're not trying to be ignorant of the virus. No, we're not trying to be naive. We just know that God is for us. And if God be for us, hallelujah, what is coronavirus? Really, when this is why I said this is an opportunity for the real Christian, the real believers to step forward, the real ambassadors, hallelujah, and say that God, amen, is my refuge and strength, amen, He is my fortress, hallelujah. We live and move in Him, our being. Praise God. Our whole life is hidden with Christ and God. And I think it's not time to magnify fear, but it is time to magnify the one who conquers death, hell, and the grave, and walk out of it and said, oh, death, where is thy sting? I was thinking how the Bible says, hallelujah, death has been swallowed up. In other words, he had death for lunch. My God of heaven. And we wouldn't think that we need to panic. Oh, no, you tell everybody. And I tell them, there's one dopey conqueror, my friend, and his name is Jesus, because he alone walked out of that grave, amen, triumphantly. Everybody else that died are still dead. But Jesus Christ, he's alive and well, my brother. God bless you. Thank you for having me.
My Lord, this is the China Connection. This is Pastor Cameron.
Bless
and I want to say to my sister's guest, Dr. Cameron over there in Canada.
God bless
you. Just keep on taking out the gospel, my brother. I am not ashamed of the gospel.
Praise
I just continue to trust in God for his goodness. See you next week, same time, same place. This is the China Connection and the Caribbean Radio Show. And we keep on trusting in God, because he says to show yourself approved unto God, a workman not to be ashamed. Ready to divide the word, that's true. Over to you, studio.